Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, October 18th. Coming up on today's show, Sackville normally punches above its weight in the movies department, thanks to the enduring presence of the Vogue Cinema and the Sackville Film Society. But this week, the film offerings are expanding. From Tuesday to Thursday, the Ramen Film Festival will feature three films centered on, you guessed it, ramen, the Japanese noodle dish. The Ramen Film Festival is put on by the Japanese Food Waste class at Mount A, taught by Dr. Tim Reifenstein. Tim joins us today to talk about ramen and films. That's coming up shortly, but first, some local news and information. Six more people died over the weekend with COVID-19. Two deaths in Zone 1 were reported on Saturday, along with one in Miramichi. Two people were in their 90s and one in their 80s. On Sunday, Public Health reported three deaths in Zone 5, the Campbellton region. Two people who died were in their 40s and one person was in their 80s. There are 57 people in hospital due to the virus, with 18 in an intensive care unit. Just 3 out of every 10 people in the province have not yet been fully vaccinated, and that includes children under 12 who are not yet eligible. In terms of adults only, it's less than 2 people for every 10 that are not yet fully vaccinated. And yet, the majority of people in hospital are unvaccinated adults. Of the 18 people in an intensive care unit, none are fully vaccinated, says the province, and 35 out of the 57 people in hospital are not yet fully vaccinated. Public Health reported 58 new cases of COVID-19 on Monday. 15 of those are in Zone 1. With recoveries, the active case count dropped for the third day in a row to 935 cases. 320 of those active cases are in Zone 1. There was some local good news on the COVID-19 front on Friday. Test results for staff and residents at the Drew Nursing Home, conducted last Tuesday, came back negative. Another round of testing happened on Friday, and the results should be announced soon. The previous round of testing at the Drew yielded just one positive case. Executive Director Linda Shannon says that if all results remain negative, Public Health may declare the outbreak over as early as this coming Friday, October 22nd. On Saturday, the province's newly expanded rapid test program kicked off with 37,500 test kits distributed to New Brunswickers at 3 locations in the province. It was a popular program, to say the least. The Moncton pickup location ran out of test kits within 2.5 hours of starting their distribution. Today, the program expands to include 10 locations around the province, each allotted double the amount planned for on Saturday. There are 2 locations for pickups in Moncton. The Greater Moncton Health Center on Edmonton Avenue is distributing kits between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. Another location at 380 McNaughton Avenue is open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday to Friday. You can check chmafm.com for more details. This is a busy week for events in Sackville. On Tuesday, students in the Arts and Cultural Marketing course at Mount Allison University have put together a roster of events to celebrate Culture Days, a national celebration of arts and culture. There will be a mix of both in-person and online activities that can be enjoyed from home, including a community art walk, a radio show, a film stream, a collective chalk activity, and a live performance to be enjoyed over Zoom. Tune in to CHMA at 3 p.m. Tuesday to kick off the day's events with tales and tunes. Part of Culture Days this year is the Ramen Film Festival. Students in the Japanese Food Waste class at Mount Allison are offering up screenings of 3 films centered on ramen, the Japanese noodle dish. Their professor, Dr. Tim Reifenstein, joined me in CHMA Studios last week to talk about where the idea for a ramen film festival came from and what makes ramen such an interesting part of Japanese culture and cuisine. Here's our conversation. Tim Reifenstein, welcome to CHMA.
Thank you for having me, Erica.
What can you tell us about the genesis of the Ramen Film Festival?
This has been an idea I've had for several years. as I've been collecting DVDs related to my research area on the Japanese noodle restaurant industry. And this was the first time I actually had a vehicle that was appropriate to get it off the ground. And that's a first year course that I'm road testing called Japanese Foodways, that in general is an intro course about the cultural geographies of Japanese cuisine. And so a portion of that course and the student evaluation is the students and I are organizing a film festival that's related to ramen. So I provide the films, and then the students do much of the organization in terms of designing posters, in terms of publicity, in terms of decorations, in terms of content curation at the event. So the students will introduce the films and maybe choreograph a brief Q&A after the film, if that's possible. Some students have prepared songs. You name it, students have got involved. Right now I'm working with a team of students to try and curate a small display over in the library, and I realize that's a little bit more involved, in the sense that, you know, you can't just throw stuff together. Curation, I think, involves a bit of care and knowledge. And so I may be handholding a little bit more on that part. So yeah, it was really the opportunity that this course allowed to get this off the ground. And of course, the timing isn't ideal, but...
Yeah, I mean, are people obviously concerned about public health protocols? Did those affect the ones that, you know, we're in our circuit breaker now? Has that affected the plans for the festival, or can it run?
Well, in the sense that we're following what the guidance is that Mount A has been hosting in-person events, you know, president speaker series and other things. And the safeguards of vaccination checking, masks and so on, I think, you know, achieves a balance of sort of risk mitigation while also trying to allow some semblance of normal in terms of cultural events. It's if we have to drop it early next week, then I tell the students it's just like the folks who spend a year planning the fall fair, and you may not see their effort, but they know, you know, amongst themselves how much effort they put into it. Similarly here, I'm hoping it comes across.
Yeah.
Comes off, fingers crossed, but yeah, it's, you know, the students and I can still be proud of what we've done so far, even if it doesn't come off.
So what kind of films will people get a chance to see?
There's really only three films about ramen that I'm aware of. Okay. And so I chose those three. I mean, Tampopo is Jinzo Itami. It's a classic film from, I think, 84. And so in some ways, it is a really nice introduction to both ramen, Japanese film, but also I think it captures Japan at this moment when it's in tremendous flux. It was right before the bubble burst, and the Japanese economy has been very prosperous, but is essentially flatlined since 1990. And so to sort of see Japan in 1984 and amidst this prosperity, I mean, you know, they have homeless people sharing stories and sharing meals and stuff. And so you see a little bit below the surface that maybe this prosperous society isn't everything it's cracked up to be. But I mean, the focus of the story, which I love, is a female protagonist who vows she wants to be successful at making ramen. And she has several male mentors. And of course, that's a theme that comes up in the third film in the series, Ramen Girl, from 2006, starring the late, great Brittany Murphy, which once again, she's an American expat in Tokyo who finds herself, you know, questioning the meaning of a lot of things. And you know, she has an inspiration or stumbles into an inspiration that she wants to learn how to make really tasty soup. Reluctantly, a male mentor takes her on. And so a lot of the film is about the tension between cultures, between the mentor and the protege and so on. And then those two films, which are our fiction, which are stories that, about ramen culture, bookend the one in the middle that we're showing at the Vogue, which is Ramen Heads, which is a documentary about some of the really, really serious freaks in the Japanese ramen scene who have sort of devoted their life to making as intense a soup as they can possibly make and perfect the craft of noodle making. And they do this because, you know, they're ramen heads and they're consumers. Mm-hmm. I mean, the main story in Ramen Heads is about Osamu Tomita, who's sort of won Tokyo Ramen of the Year Grand Championship 6 or 7 years in a row before they decided they had to give it to someone else. Yeah, he's a serious ramen head. He, you know, there's a book about him. The book, his autobiography is, you know, why do people line up 4 hours to eat at Tomita? Mm-hmm. You know, what compels someone to spend so much time doing that for a meal that costs the equivalent of 10 Canadian dollars that they're going to slurp down in maybe 5 or 6 minutes before they exit again? I mean, yeah, it's a strange subculture, but in part because, I mean, the ramen industry, I mean, it's Japan's largest category of restaurants. So it's so much a part of everyday life. It's ubiquitous. And fortunately, there's an awful lot of cultural products and media that offer a window into that, whether it's comic books, whether it's magazines produced by Japan's, you know, mammoth publishing industry, or even these films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ramen shop is a real public space in Japan where
everyone visits, and you know, it depends. I mean, some people talk about shops as a kind of third space, the way they might talk about cafes here. And I think it really depends. So in Ramen Girls, certainly what we see is a classic third space being sort of neither home nor work, but it's sort of a quasi public place where people can gather, hatch ideas, be themselves, etc.
I should have asked this at the beginning, but you know, there might be a number of listeners who think that ramen is just sort of instant noodles, right? But it's not in, you know, many parts of the world. Can you just describe a bit about what ramen is like in Japan?
Oh, if you kind of overlook instant noodles, you're missing a large part of the story. I mean, there were two ramen museums in Japan, the Shin Yokohama Ramen Museum in Yokohama, which has been open since 94, and I think since about 98 near Osaka, there's another museum, the Momofuku Ando Museum, which is all about the creation of instant noodles and sort of a tribute to the Nissan Corporation. So those are both parts of the story, but in terms of actually going out to a restaurant, you find shops in Moncton serving noodles, and they're pretty good. And I think the emphasis is really on trying to come up with an authentic Japanese taste, mainly for sort of a pork bone tonkotsu style soup. But what one should emphasize about ramen in Japan is the men. Men means noodles, and you know, what distinguishes ramen from the two Japanese native types of noodle, udon, which is made from wheat, and soba, which is made from buckwheat, is that ramen or Chinese noodles, because it's a Chinese dish that was adopted by Japan and kind of made their own thing, is that the noodles, the flour is mixed with water that is alkaline, and they add a substance called kansui. And when you get the right balance between flour and kansui, you get this lovely, the kansui does is it essentially animates the gluten in the wheat, and you get these wonderful textures. I mean, you often hear Japanese have all kinds of onomatopoeia with all sorts of, you know, the Japanese world, but two that are really important in ramen is mochi mochi, which comes from mochi, which is sort of pounded rice cake. And as it sounds chewy. And so to have noodles with sufficient mochi mochi quality, I mean, it's very hard to find. I mean, you're starting to find it outside of Japan, but, you know, if I was to give any advice to local ramen shops, it's, you know, the soup will come, but if you can make good noodles and you can, you know, adapt with the times and so on. So the big difference is, I think, the attention paid to the noodles. And then, you know, this is a funny industry. It's, you know, there's more, you know, there's 35,000 restaurants in Japan, and it's an industry characterized by intense competition, you know. Mm-hmm. Thousands of firms enter the industry each year, thousands exit it. It's really, really tough to make it. And that puts a lot of pressure on shops to bring customers in the door and keep them coming. And, you know, in economic theory, they call it monopolistic competition, which isn't a monopoly at all. What it means is, rather than being perfect competition of firms competing on price or undifferentiated goods, the prices are largely below what they call a senen kabe, which is a 1,000 yen wall. Everything has to be below that ceiling. And so firms have to stand out. And so they emphasize particular seasonings. They use ingredient, you know, they'll go out and search for Hinai chickens from Akita Prefecture, or they'll try and find artisanal shoyu sauce to season their broth. And even then the margins are going to be tight, but these are people who have trained for years, mm-hmm. 2 years just sweeping up after the rest of the staff has been hard at work making bowls of soup. And then finally, they get their own shop and, you know, they maybe spend 5 years, you know, living above the shop, sleeping 4 hours a night. So it's both fast food and slow food. You know, people will boil pork bones. Yeah, you know, but they'll boil them for 14 hours, and after a certain threshold, the broth turns this lovely cloudy white as all the collagen from the bones is released, and that mouthfeel, you know, it takes time. Yet, you know, you're going to slurp it down in a couple minutes. So yeah, so it's a whole galaxy of flavor, and it's just a wonderful part of Japanese culture that is so common that, you know, it's found all over the world now.
You're making me hungry here. Is there going to be, I mean, will we just be able to be teased with these films? Or, I mean, where can people satisfy the inevitable urge to slurp down a bowl of ramen?
Well, one of the initial planning iterations was we were going to try and serve cup noodles airplane style during the film. And then we just thought maybe it isn't the best time to be leaning down the aisle, nor does the cinema want to be cleaning up spills and things like that. So, my long-term goal is to get some decent noodles in Sackville. And they've been served before, and there are some really good. I remember Songs, her chicken soup was excellent at the original place. So I have a multi-year plan to try and just, for my own selfish ends, have noodles in town. And this is the first part, just to get students enthused about Japanese food in general, and for this film, ramen in particular, and see if we can spread love for noodles.
All right. So where can people find out more?
Well, come to the films. You can, I think there's an advertisement that ran in the Argosy. There are two posters the students designed. I think there's a Facebook page that students did an event invitation. One of the posters has a QR code, which I once used, but I don't have that capability. Right. There's lots of bells and whistles. I think there's an Instagram page as well. And so there are things going on. My students are, you know, a generation younger than I am. And that's one of the fun things is they bring all sorts of skills that are native to them that will hopefully, complement the project.
All right. Well, thanks for telling us about it, Tim. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me on, Erica. It's fun to talk about this stuff.
That was Associate Professor of Geography Tim Reifenstein speaking with me last week. We are actually going to leave you today with a little of that creativity from his students that Tim spoke about.
Hello. Didn't see you come in there.
What's this, you ask?
Well, it's just a delicious bowl of ramen that I've decided to use to help warm me up on this frigid fall day. What's not to love about ramen, really? Slurp, slurp, sloop, sloop. I want me some soup. Chopsticks in my dish. It's so nostalgic. It's ramen, and sure it might be common, but it's a special soup, and you're special too, so you get your own bowl.
You can catch the first of the Ramen Film Festival movies, Tampopo, tomorrow at the Mount Allison campus at the Flemington Building. Then on Wednesday night at the Vogue Cinema, you can catch Ramen Heads. And on Thursday, back at Flemington, there's Ramen Girl. That's it for Tantramar Report. Happy Monday. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.
They saw the writing, the risk of the commies. American soldiers ruled over the land, and they ran out of food, so they devised a plan. Shipped in some wheat for the people so hungry. Instead of bread, they made something so yummy. Illegal to eat, it was just short of art. Find a yuk tai, simple street cart for some ramen. And sure, it might be common, but it's a special soup, and you're special too, so you get your own bowl. It's a college kid's best friend. Stick together to the end. Keep your sodium high. I hope you survive living in the international isle. And from the black market, sober rose to the top. Now all over the world we have all kinds of shops. There is shoyu and shio, miso and kare, and probably more, but I'm already starving. Bring on the bean sprouts, can't forget the dashi. Some sesame oil, a bowl full of fashion. There's no need for patience when you've got a cup. All thanks to Neeson, go ahead, slurp it up. Like ooh-ow-ow-ow-ow-ow-ow. Way ooh wow wow, 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 way. It is ramen, and sure it might be common, but it's a special soup, and you're special too, so you get your own bowl. It's a college kid's best friend. Stick together to the end. Keep your sodium high. I hope we survive living in the international isle. I hope to see you at the film festival. I'm just gonna go back to this bowl of ramen.